Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverSports.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverSports.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assist!
All right, here we go. Let's get some of the stuff that have just dropped here in the last couple of hours. The Broncos, as written by James Marillette of Marillette Monday. You'll hear him on during the Players Club between 9 and 11. Writing that the Broncos haven't just been patching roster holes during free agency. That not only has every weak spot basically been addressed, right tackle, McGlinchey, left guard, Ben Powers, defensive line, Zach Allen, running back, Samaje Perine.
P. Ryan,
that's, yeah, you'll never get that one wrong.
No.
But he writes that that's not all the Broncos have done during free agency. They've also used the start of the new league year to overhaul the culture in the locker room. James goes on to write, players who have been problematic in the past have been shown the door. Ones from winning organizations have been added to the roster. So do you see a dramatic overhaul, not only in the positions that were filled, but the attitude adjustment that took place with free agency?
I think there's, like, real-life football players. I think guys that are grinders, guys that will play regardless of the situation. They'll play hurt, they'll play injured, they'll... I see that as, you know, as kind of a Sean Payton mantra. Like, I want football players. That's what I'm going after, and I think they did that. And by the way, P. Ryan, I mean, how many, if I do a Broncos game, we get the word, that the phrase that pays. Like, how many times are you going to sprinkle P. Ryan into this drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
He scores through a hole.
Yeah.
There's going to be any...
Probably can work in a dribble.
Yeah, dribble, right? Maybe a shower.
That's when you really got to go.
This is not going to get the guy back who did not like your vowel movement.
No, really?
Alphabet soup thing. Not going to like it.
I bet you these guys would love that joke.
They would love it. This table?
Yeah.
Oh, they would love it.
Should we tell them the joke?
Yeah, during the break.
Okay.
All right.
Next on the front page.
Maybe we should tell now.
No.
Yeah.
From Cecil Lammy. Cecil writes that the Broncos missed the boat on pursuing a free agent wide receiver. Mm. Care to guess who it was? I know you haven't looked at the Denver Sports.
Right.
Page.
I'm sure he's going to say, which I disagree with, but I'm sure he's going to say Adam Thielen.
That's correct. Adam Thielen signed with Carolina. Three-year deal. He says the Broncos should have made a play for him. You did some Viking games this year. What'd you see in Adam Thielen? I know for all of us who played Adam Thielen during fantasy, you probably noticed that he was good for the occasional touchdown, especially at home.
Mm-hmm.
But the volume, catches, and yards, just big drop-off this year.
Yeah, well, obviously a big drop-off because of what Justin Jefferson did. So, I mean, I like Adam Thielen a lot. I think he's a really good player. But, like... You have him. His name is Tim Patrick. He's coming back.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
I just looked at that what we need is, especially if they're going to move on from Jerry Jeudy, is a legit big time X. And that's really what we don't have on this roster. Now, Jerry Jeudy played that position and played it pretty well, but he's underwhelming when it comes to size. Like, he's quickness, but underwhelming when it comes to size. So, can you hold up long-term playing that position?
Where are you at on Jeudy? Are you somebody that would love to move him, or would you be reluctant? I'm reluctant to move him. I know that he's got some quirks that you don't like, but sure. This is still a talent-based league, and this guy's got the talent. And I'd rather bet on the idea that he's starting to figure it out. And he'll only mature more as he gets older. And then you're left with what? All that talent.
Right. So I would tell you this. I am for moving him if you can get, like, big-time return. Big ROI when it comes to, you know.
First-round pick?
Yeah. I just don't think he's worth a first-round pick. I don't think anybody in their brother's uncle is going to give you a first-rounder for him. So then why would you move him? Would I move him for a mid to late second rounder? Debatable, probably not. I just don't think you're going to get. I think what they did is they put it out there trying to get, you know, a king's ransom for him. And if they could get a king's ransom for him, they'd move him in a heartbeat. They wouldn't even think twice. But I just don't think you're going to get that. Just like I don't think the Jets are looking at giving up a first rounder for Aaron Rodgers. They may end up giving up one first rounder, but they're not getting multiple, like, to me, it's a second and a third rounder type of thing because he's 39 years old and everything else. Like, there's not, you're not going to get the same kind of return on
that. How much would we have given up last year
for Aaron Rodgers?
What do you think the.
Yeah.
I think the
asking price would have been.
I think they probably.
Because we are casually, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just to set it up, we are casually talking about the idea of giving up the Russell Wilson type package for Aaron Rodgers, and people seem to be okay with it.
I think you would have given up probably two firsts for Aaron Rodgers
a year ago.
Yeah, but
and 1 year later, he's not even worth a first.
Yeah, I don't.
One.
Yeah, well, I mean, 1 year later, where the Green Bay Packers don't make the playoffs, and there's what people perceive as even more drama, and you know, was going to retire until he went on the dark retreat. Like, yeah, I think there's. Like, at least you felt like last year you're going to get two, maybe 3 years out of him. Now you're like, hey, man, this may be a one-and-done thing. So, but I don't think you would have given up, you know, beyond a first-rounder this year and a first-rounder, you know, or last year and this year. I don't think you're giving up players and everything else like they did for Russell Wilson.
Next on the DenverSports.com front page. Andrew Mason writes that one national pundit, Peter King, says the Broncos had the, quote, most fascinating signing of the first week in free agency. Care to guess who that most fascinating player was?
Zach Allen.
Nope.
Try again.
Mike Burton.
No.
Third time's a charm.
One more.
Ben Powers.
Nope. Stids. Jared Stidham.
Really?
This is how Peter King rationalizes
all right.
It. Okay? He writes, so now Peyton buys him to be Russell Wilson's backup. Nothing needs to be said to Wilson about it. If Wilson by midseason is having a similarly disastrous season to his first one in Denver, Peyton won't have to punt on the season. He'll have an intriguing backup waiting in the wings. But, King writes, Peyton did not go hard after Stidham to put the pressure on Wilson. Instead, he did it because, again, quoting King, he writes, Peyton considered his options at backup quarterback and thought he could play it safe for around the same money with an Andy Dalton type or swing for the fences on a young prospect with significant upside. I like the logic. So, instead of going with an Andy Dalton, a Sam Darnold, a Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett type.
Right, somebody who you already know what their upside is, their potential
so
upside.
So those quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield specifically, their potential ceiling has been reached.
I think what you look at with those guys, you say, okay, we know what they are. And they played themselves into backup roles. They've had enough opportunity to play to where, you know, they're probably this point forward going forward career backups. Hey, I need you for 6-7 games, you know, as a bridge guy, Andy Dalton. I need you for 6-7 games until we get our guy ready. Like, that's where they are, right? And that's what he's essentially saying about Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. They've played themselves. They've reached their Peter principle. They've played to the level of their incompetence, and they have established themselves as career backups. Hard to believe, too, because they were drafted. 1-3 overall.
Inconceivable.
I'm going to give Payton the benefit of the doubt. When it comes to Sean Payton identifying quarterbacks, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He helped turn Drew Brees in, go from a just simple a guy into a Hall of Famer. He recognized Teddy Bridgewater, got Teddy Bridgewater to fill in and play outstanding football while Brees was hurt. Recognized something in Jameis Winston, improved Jameis Winston.
Right.
So if he believes he sees something in Stidham, fine. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But still, Bill Belichick had Jarrett Stidham, moved on from him. Josh McDaniels had Jarrett Stidham, didn't make him enough of a priority. He's gone.
Right.
So he's on to his third different team. So how intriguing, to use Peter King's word, how intriguing can Jarrett Stidham really be?
I still think, I mean, Josh McDaniels, you know, he thought that drafting Tim Tebow in the first round was a good idea. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a hall pass. We'll see. I mean, he had that one game, Mike, against the Niners where he was lights out great. And beyond that, you know, he's, again, if you have that, can you develop that? If you're a coach, can you develop that to where that becomes, I'm not saying that's the norm, but it's no longer the outlier. It's somewhere in between what he's been and what that became. So, at least it's worth it. At least it's, like I understand the logic behind it. Because I think I'm pretty clear on what Baker Mayfield is and what, you know, Sam Darnold is and what Andy Dalton is and those guys. Jacoby Brissett, as you mentioned, yeah.
Next on the Denver Sports front page, D-Mac writes how the Nuggets get a much-needed win but haven't found their groove just yet. So last week when they lost to Toronto, some of the veteran players got up and talked. Guys like DeAndre Jordan, Jeff Green, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and basically just kind of, you know, aired things out. One of those team meetings. Avalanche had a celebrated team meeting earlier this season after a bottoming out loss to Chicago. Since then, they've been the second best team in hockey during that stretch. They've won five in a row right now. They're the hottest team in hockey right now. So the Nuggets did it. Since then, it's been kind of a win one, lose one. They beat Detroit, but had to wait until the fourth quarter to come on. They lose to the Knicks. Then they turn around and beat Brooklyn. Fever, if you've got the Michael Malone talking about how he is still kind of searching for the groove on the bench, let me know when you have that, because the gist of it is that you can tell Malone is still kind of he's searching. He's still kind of trying to figure things out as we're getting really dangerously late in the season. Here it is.
I don't know. I guess if I don't know, that means yes, right? Probably we're still in search mode. It's been hard because, you know, guys like Zeke have been in and out of the lineup with injury. It's been hard because that trade deadline and buyout market, you add Thomas and you add Reggie, and you have to give them an honest look. You know, it can't be just one or two games. So you have to give them an extended look to see what you have. You know, but now with 10 games to go, you know, we got to find a group and a rhythm and give them some opportunities to formulate that on-court chemistry moving forward.
They running out of time?
What's left? Like about 10 games
about 10
left?
Games.
About 10 games left? No. Are they running out of time? No, but they need to figure it out. Is that fair? You need to figure it out. You definitely need to figure it out and be playing well, you know, right before the playoffs. Like, to me, you can't figure it out in the first round. You gotta have it kind of figured out before that.
See, there's two things going on with this team right now. He's got the starting lineup figured out. Okay? I'll put their starting five. You got to get Aaron Gordon back healthy.
Right.
Jamal's got to be healthy. But aside from health, I think you can feel really good about... He's not searching for anything with his starting five. I guess the only thing you're searching for from the starting five besides health is just more consistency from Michael Porter Jr. Because you can just tell. He doesn't trust Michael Porter Jr. Or Porter hasn't, maybe the better way to look at it, Porter hasn't earned his trust.
Right.
And so maybe put it more on Michael Porter Jr. than Michael Malone. But here's the big issue. When he's talking about the bench,
the biggest thing is the Thomas Bryant and Reggie Jackson acquisitions, which were much celebrated at the time, have been a disaster thus far.
Yeah,
they just have.
Like, think about it.
They haven't worked out.
You made that trade, then you had to give... You just couldn't give it lip service. You had to actually give it an opportunity. And that opportunity that you gave it, like, I understand why you had to do it, but it didn't work. You know what you missed while you were doing that? You missed Christian Brown.
Right.
You missed working those guys in because you were committed to the guys you just traded for. That didn't work out. So now it put you a little bit behind trying to figure that out. So that's kind of where you are right now. So, hey, listen, man, I'm glad they're getting it done. I'm glad they're trying to figure it out right now. I just hope they get it figured out, like, before it's too late.
But see, with the Avalanche, we look at them now. They've won five in a row. They're the hottest team in hockey, and there's that sense of, okay, NHL, okay, Western Conference, be very afraid now. Because this team that has just kind of grinded through the regular season, right, through the ups and downs, motivation has been a huge issue all season long. Well, guess what? They smell the finish line.
Yeah.
They see the finish line. And now this team is starting to dial it up. They're starting to flip the proverbial switch, and they are going to be dangerous. So now it's just a matter of, let's go. Bring on the playoffs. The Avs, they're ready to cook, right? With the Nuggets, is this a team that is still trying to figure things out, or is this a team that is just same thing? They just want the regular season over with, and they'll be fine
right
once the playoffs start.
I think it's completely different. I think the Nuggets are trying to figure it out. The Avs were in this boat a while ago. They figured it out. And now they're the hottest team in hockey. Who's the hottest player in hockey?
Well, Connor McDavid's having another worldly season.
No. I'm like, Jimmy Garoppolo's the hottest dude in football.
Oh!
Yeah.
So, oh, that hot.
Like, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I should have known
that
better.
That dude is hot.
I should have known
that
better.
That dude is beautiful.
Did you see what Jimmy said?
No.
I mean, his introductory press conference with the Raiders.
What did he say?
He said he was looking forward to visiting the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
He did. I love Jimmy. He didn't get back to me. Jimmy, yeah, I told you he's bad at texting. Bad at texting.
Is he worse than me?
Yeah, I called you this weekend. No. I didn't get a call back.
No, I was
you're busy doing.
I shut it down. I contacted you.
No, you didn't.
Did you call me?
Yes, of course I called.
I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, of course.
What do you want to talk about?
I called you on Friday.
What do you want to talk about?
That's why you notice I didn't respond to your email last night.
Oh, like, someone's got some hurt feelings.
Yeah, I was like, oh, really? You don't call me back?
I'm going to play that game.
You want to play that?
I'm going to ghost you.
Just shoot me that email.
I'm not getting back to you.
No, I didn't see your email last night. Papa Bear was too tired. He was a little bit sleepy. He's like hibernating around.
In case you missed it, Mark was a little under the weather this morning, this weekend. Oh. So what'd you do about it?
Well, listen, I didn't feel good. I was a little under the weather.
Yeah.
So I had this real craving for alphabet soup. It'll be four cans
of alphabet soup.
Yeah. Took the biggest bowel movement of my life.
Good one.
That'll never get old.
The guys are all laughing. Yeah. The women are like,
they're acting like it's not funny.
Deep inside, they're
disgusting.
Chuckling. They're chuckling.
Deep down inside, deep they're down. Like that.
Yeah. No, she that's hot. Does not like, think it's funny.
No, she's like, that's hot. She's like, that's hot. Yeah, she didn't like that.
She didn't like that.
Ah, it's funny. She's my granddaughters
loved
it. She's
looking at you with scorn.
After I explained it to them, they loved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one more on the Denver Sports front page. Jake Shapiro writes that the Colorado Rockies might be sleeping on jail beds again.
Oh, no.
Chris Bryant missed a couple games last week with a bad back.
Oh, shoot.
CJ Krohn is dealing with back spasms. And now Charlie Blackman has had to sit down because of some back issues.
Bed and nails.
Jail beds.
What are they doing out there?
No.
I think Chris Bryant said, yeah, lay down over here.
Rockies. Bad backs.
Dude, how are you gonna overcome this?
How are you gonna get to 500 with these bad backs?
I don't know. Well, that way there's an excuse built in. Not our fault.
Every guy on our roster's got a bad back.
Jeez, they got a bunch of injuries so far. As Jake writes out, lost some outfielders.
They signed an
Randall Grichuk is likely to miss opening day. Lucas Gilbreth is out for the season. Riley Pint, Tyler Kinley, Antonio Sensatella, all currently hurt.
It's over.
Is Lauren Landau now in charge of Rockies? That's
That was unnecessary. He actually got
out of that player survey. He actually got some of the best player reviews.
Yeah, yeah, they liked him. Boy, the Rockies. You gonna take the under now?
What's the under? 66? 66 wins.
W.
You got to you win
66
you
out, W's.
You roll out, you're going to win. You're going to win 62. Right?
Every baseball team will win 60 and lose 60. It's what you do with the other 60. No, that's wrong.
No, what do you do with the other 102?
No,
162 games.
Yeah, but you're automatically going to win 60.
Oh, that's
you're automatically going to lose 60.
No, that's 120.
So that's 120. So it's what do you do with the other 42?
Mad.
Wow, that lady's giving you the same look when it comes to our math skills. Not impressed. What do you do with the other 42?
What do you do with the other 40? Okay, you win 60.
You're automatically going to win 60. Right. You're automatically going to lose 60. It's what do you do with the other 40? So, do they win
all 42?
No, do they win at least 7 of the other 42?
Tonight it didn't happen.
Because that's what it comes down to. If you think they're going to win more than 66.
All right.
They're going to win more than 66.
Yeah, I agree.
They'll win more than 66.
Yeah.
How much more?
Not much, but...
Not much more. They will not get to 81. Sorry, Dick.
No. Will they get to the 70s?
Will they get to the 70s? So 70 wins would be a 70-92 season.
Right.
Can this group go 70-92?
Or do you think it'll be 68 or 69?
68-94. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, God. Really? They could go over. You could be better than the wise guys in Vegas. Take the over. They go 68-94 and you'd win.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But think about
it yourselves.
68-94 would actually, from a betting standpoint, would constitute a successful season. 60. W. Oh, my God. This is how bad it's gotten.
W.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't get to 70 with these guys.
I can't get to 70.
I can't do it. We can't even imagine 70 wins with this group.
No. Tonight it didn't happen.
And I'll tell you what. This is how I pick up on it. I've never sensed, and we're getting, what, we're about a week, 10 days away from opening day. I have never, ever sensed so much apathy.
Do you know
when it comes to Rockies baseball?
Do you know this?
I don't even feel like we should talk about it.
This is the first year, Mike, that I have lived here. The first year that I have lived in Denver. This go all the way back out of my playing days. That I haven't watched one spring training game.
Me neither.
Can't do it.
Nope.
Even last year, I bet you I watched close to a dozen. I bet you close to double. I bet you I was close to 10 spring training games that I tuned in for with the Rockies last year. I haven't watched one spring training game this year.
Nope. Nope.
That's sad.
Nope. That'll do it for the DenverSports.com front page. Check out all the fresh content dropping, like mentioned already, a couple articles that dropped down this morning. That'll happen throughout the course of the day, throughout the course of the week. And as always, it is free to you. We are live at Sam's Number 3. We've had a great crowd come through here this morning. Thank you to everybody who came out. You can still come on by. We're here till 9 a.m. 15th in Curtis downtown. And even if you can't make it in for our show, keep on coming by throughout the course of the day. Lunch, dinner, unbelievable menu. They've been doing it for close to 100 years, family-owned and operated. Coming up next, What were the best things you saw this weekend? That's next.
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress, relax in your tub or shower from Bathfitter. Bathfitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit Bathfitter.com today.
You're going to need a bigger potion.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Why is this that you're so big?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
You know, I was putting together the plan to what to talk about today. Uh-huh. From Sam's Number 3 downtown, 15th and Curtis. Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. We have eaten this morning.
Yes.
Both on our soda diets.
Mm-hmm.
Thought we were pretty responsible.
Yeah.
You've seen me.
Oh, yeah.
Far worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, normally you not only have the omelet, but then you get some, you know, like pancakes.
Yes.
Syrup.
Yep.
And
yep.
Maybe powdered sugar on there.
Yep.
You eschewed.
It's garbage.
That's right.
You said eggs.
Yep.
A little bit of bacon.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with having some bacon.
There you go. There you go.
Yep.
New me.
That's right.
Believe me, I was nervous about this, too. Like, I had a taste of the Sunday scaries because I didn't know whether or not I'd be able to control myself here. Seriously.
Yeah,
I was really worried about it.
I'm with you.
Because this place is so awesome.
Ugh.
So much good food.
Yeah.
As soon as I hadn't even walked in yet. I was already smelling bacon wafting through the air. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I might need to.
I picked it up at about 14th. I got off on Auraria at 14th, and I was like, is that bacon? Yeah. Sensors went off.
Oh, my goodness. So, but I was like, wow, what a weekend it was. And I found myself at one point this weekend thinking, wow, things. Remember, it wasn't that long ago when everything was shut down.
Yeah.
There were no sports, and all the TV networks were showing old sporting events, March Madness.
Yeah.
March Madness was canceled, so we were seeing Duke versus Kentucky from way back when and all these classic games, which was fun, but we missed sports, right? Mm-hmm. Think about what happened this weekend. You just start rattling off all the things that stand out. You had March Madness. You got the Avalanche. You got the Nuggets. You've got World Baseball mm-hmm. Classic. You had the start of spring football up at CU. You've got DU hockey as the number one seed in the upcoming college hockey tournament. You've got Mikayla Shiffrin wins again. You've got the kid from Northern Colorado becomes the first NCAA wrestling champion in the state of Colorado, to come from the state of Colorado since 1962.
Right. Some dude named Shank leading a golf tournament, the Valspar.
Until he choked.
Until he shanked.
Boy, how do you get into... What do you want to be?
Pro golfer?
Great. What's your name? Shank.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What'd be worse?
Well,
what's your name?
He said...
John Yips.
Yeah. But he said he played with a threesome when he was in college. One dude was named Yips. He was named Shank.
Come on.
I kid you not. Yeah, I can't remember that. Somebody will have it on the text line. It was like a Yips, a Shank, and a...
Bogey?
You know, it was
Bunker?
Like lefty or something. Like hook. I don't know. I don't remember the three because I was kind of half sleeping watching golf.
Well, that'll happen.
I was like dozing. But they gave the threesome. Somebody on the text line will have the threesome that he talked about playing with. All just horrible golf names. Right?
I want to be a golfer.
Who's the kid?
What's your name? Shank.
Right. There was a kicker.
That's right.
What was the kicker's
name?
It was just
recent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blewett.
Yeah, exactly. His name was Blewett. Like, dude, you should have picked a different position.
Yeah, you might want a different. Yeah, or change your
name. I could go punter. You know, you could go punter.
Yeah.
But you can't go Blew it and be a field goal kicker.
Yeah, that's just asking for a bad headline.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad, bad headline. Let's see. So asking you the best thing you saw this weekend, what was it? Oh, a hack. Was it a hack?
Yes, hack.
So you had a hack, a shank, and a yip?
A yip. I think it was a yip, yeah. Hank, a shack, and a shank, and a yip.
Let's see. On the RamosLive.com text line, guys, while I love
the show that Denver puts on whenever the NCAA tournament comes through. I do not want a taxpayer-funded arena just so you can get the Final Four. It is overrated, the economic impact that these sporting events make for their cities. I don't know. You put enough of them in here, I think it starts to make an impact. You start putting a Super Bowl in here, a Final Four in here, monster UFC events here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will start to make a difference.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, I look at what they've done in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a destination spot for sporting events, concerts, everything else. Why? Because Lucas Oil Stadium, Combine. I mean, you think about what you put. You put a retractable roof stadium here. I mean, you're talking about a Super Bowl here. Huge. You talk about your draft is going to come here. You're going to get all these events. They've talked about starting to move the combine around. That would be what an incredible opportunity that would be for. I mean, not only do all the scouts and all the coaches and all the teams come here and all the players, but then you're talking about all the agents and all the other stuff. Like, it's a huge deal.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I don't want to pay for it. I'm not advocating that you build one of these things, even if it means the taxpayers pay for it. Of course not. Big Pocket pays for it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's got to be privately financed, but.
Well, I don't think 100% of it has to be.
Well, but a good chunk of it. Okay? Nice.
Yeah, he's got to put in, if you're building a $5 billion stadium, you got to put in half of it, right? Fund the other. Isn't that kind of what they did for SoFi? Didn't they put in like $2 billion? It's a $5 billion project?
Well, if you're talking about a little bit of infrastructure, that's fine. I get that. But no, I don't want to foot. Well, I do acknowledge that there is economic benefits from bringing these events here. I still don't want the taxpayer to have to pay an overwhelming part of it. No, that should be, because the owner's going to be the one that still ultimately reaps the most profit from it.
I get that.
All right, well, then let him pay for most of it.
Pass it on to the tourist. That's what they were going to do in San Diego. That didn't pass in San Diego.
I don't care how you do it, just as long as we're not. But
they were going to do it.
I do see the value.
They were doing it in San Diego. It was going to be all on a hotel, like on a.
That's fine. Tourism tax. That's fine.
But a $2 room charge to pay for the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, there's creative ways to finance it. I think they could figure it out.
But do you think we live in a world-class sports city? Yes.
Absolutely, 100%.
I mean, look at the NCAA basketball tournament, for example, over the weekend. I went to the games on Friday, the first sessions, 11:30 tip-off, first game. Uh-huh. Most of the time you go to these first and second round sites on a Thursday morning or a Friday morning for the first game, mm-hmm. and that arena's empty. At most, it's half full.
Right.
That place was banged out to start the game at 11:30. UC Santa Barbara against Baylor. Banged out.
Right.
And as you know, for those events, sure, there's a certain amount of tickets that are held for the teams that are going to be coming to town, but you don't know about that until 4 days prior when Selection Sunday comes out. So who bought all those tickets? That it was an automatic sellout. One of only two first and second round sites that sold out, had over 19,000 fans in it. Denver was one of the two. And so what does that tell you? That as soon as it popped up on the calendar that, hey, one of the first and second round sites will be Denver in 2023, people came out and bought tickets. Mm-hmm. And a vast majority of the people that were at that game, those games over the weekend, they're just from here. They're Denver basketball fans.
I mean, I know it costs money to produce and costs money to put it on, right? The city has to. But I wonder what the windfall is. Like, what kind of economic windfall was having that here this weekend?
It's got to be significant. You had fans from
all over the place.
What, eight different schools. All traveled in, stayed at hotels, restaurants. Yeah, plus you probably had plenty of people who were even from the region who weren't even a fan of any of the teams, just wanted to come, made it a weekend, came here.
Right.
Sure. So start adding that up. Start doing that for a Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Start doing that for a Super Bowl. Start doing that for the NFL draft. Start doing that for, maybe if they start moving the combine around. Start doing it for giant UFC events. Start doing, come on, just fill in the blank, all these major events. There's no reason why we shouldn't be one of those towns.
No, agree.
I look at the New Orleanses of the world and the Phoenixes and the Indianapolises of the world that get all these major events. Are you telling me that they should be in that group and we're not?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
And now we got an ownership group that can build it. Do it right.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
All right. I'm in.
All right?
Easy.
Easy to spend.
Sold me.
Easy to spend their money, right?
Yeah. We've been spending their money all through free agency. Why should we stop
and
now?
And you know what? They listen because no other NFL team has spent as much in free agency as the Broncos and wasn't even close.
Right.
Right?
So why should we stop spending their money now?
Right.
We should just keep spending it.
Keep spending it. All right. Best thing you saw this weekend coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I got to read this. It comes from, I don't know if he wants me to put his name out there, so I'll leave it out there for now.
Okay.
But in the whole debate about building a new stadium after what we just saw with the success of the tournament this weekend in Denver. By the way, it's coming back here again in 2025 for the first and second round.
Okay.
But we will not get a Final Four. Won't even probably get a regional final until we have a state-of-the-art facility. Yeah. That is a football stadium with a dome or a retractable roof that will attract these kind of events. It just will not happen. The days of McNichols Arena, for example, hosting the Final Four will not happen. So I got this one here. Mike, nobody pearl clutches their tax dollars like a Bronco fan, especially considering the vast majority of them don't have the slightest clue what they actually go to directly. And to think that we, as a major city, couldn't fill that new stadium up year-round and provide some financial boost is asinine. If you're the kind of person who wants to split hairs and say that it doesn't provide that much of an impact, go yell at clouds.
I tend to like it. That's why I'm like, you know what? I mean, Hey, listen, I think ownership has got to fund, you know, part of it, half of it. But come on, the windfall profit, the things that you can do year round, the just different events that you can host here. And like you said, we're a world class sports city. We prove that time and time and time again. Why not? Be awesome.
Oh, I got permission. This is from our guy, Richie.
Richie
Carney, no doubt still feeling the adrenaline boost of Michigan State going to the Sweet 16.
I'm with you, Richie. Sparty, baby. Sparty.
Did you hear what Tom Izzo told his players, or what he tells his players when it gets to the NCAA tournament?
No.
You win the first game, I'll win the second one. That's letting your clackers dangle.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? That dude has got a wheelbarrow right now. He probably has an assistant. Just carry
following him around.
He just slings him up over his shoulder. Like, man, my right shoulder is killing me right now. Been carrying my clackers all weekend. I love that
dude.
I've
been carrying Tom's.
Yeah. I love that dude.
You win the first game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll win the second one. With the idea that it's a short turnaround.
Yeah.
You play Thursday, you play Saturday, you play Friday, you play Sunday.
Right.
Hey, you guys go and win Friday. I'll win Sunday. And
he did it.
They
did.
Took out Marquette.
Hey, Richie, who's in the lead of all the fan hosts and stuff? Who's in the lead of the pick-up?
See, you are... I'm glad this has happened, by the way.
What, that I'm
leading?
Because
I get to use you as exhibit A of what I've always felt when it comes to March Madness brackets. The less you know, the better you are. And you're living proof of that. You know nothing about college basketball.
Correct.
Okay.
But,
and you filled out your bracket in literally probably about 2 minutes.
Probably.
And right now you are leading all of the fan personnel. You're leading all of us.
But what did I
pick up?
But what did I do? I made a couple of brilliant. And I do use I don't use that word lightly. You know that. I had a couple of brilliant decisions during the course of this time. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. One, don't pick the 5-12s. Take all the favorites.
That goes completely against history.
Yeah.
For the first time in a long time, a 12 did not beat a 5.
Okay, but here's the deal. Only one usually wins. You pick one, you always pick the wrong one, so you're 2-2 in those games. Even if one lost, I'd still be 3-1. I went 4-0. Brilliant decision by me. The other brilliant decision, go with a team that you know at least one player. Drew Timmy.
Boom. That's a good point. That's a good point. You know what? Because how many of you sat down to watch the tournament this weekend? You knew the coaches. You didn't know anything.
Any player.
Like we carry some of the basketball games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are just listening to an NCAA tournament game, and the announcer's going back and forth, and so-and-so has the ball, and he gives it up to this guy, you do not know what team it's on. Unless he says, over to Memphis's so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Oh, stolen by Purdue so-and-so. You have no idea who they are. Yeah. Maybe by the end of the tournament you will, but right now you don't.
And then
if you know a guy, you pick that team. Okay.
Then I went with a couple of coaches that, Tom Izzo being one, that I know how to coach in this tournament. That was really, it did literally take me less than 2 minutes to fill out my entire bracket all the way down.
I don't know who once said it, but it actually is really smart. When it gets to this time of the year, the jockey is more important than the horse.
Ooh.
Go with the jockey.
Ooh.
Go with the jockey. So, like, if you know the jockey and you respect the jockey, go with the jockey.
That's how I used to bet.
In this case, you know, you go with a Larry Izzo and you go with...
Yeah, a nice try. Good effort. Good effort. Good effort. That was actually really good. By the way, I used to do that when we'd go to the horse track when I was in college. Used to go play fair in Spokane all the time. Roll in there.
Bet the ponies, huh?
Oh, bet the ponies all the time. But you know what we do? All you got to do is bet the leading rider. You know why? The leading rider is going to get the best mounts.
Correct.
At small tracks, the leading rider will always get the best mounts. So not only you got the best jockey, but you've got the best horse. You'll make money. The small track. I don't know that holds true with the big tracks. But in the small tracks, that holds true.
So Richie said I could mention his name. So another text, fresh off his Go Yell at Clouds text.
Yeah.
If you want really nice things, you've got to pay for them. At a minimum, chip in. It's not complicated. Don't want to pay the cover charge? You get to drink at home. Want to get dealt in? Ante up. Don't whine because you think people more successful than you owe you something.
Ooh.
Ooh, wow. Okay, that's Richie Carney, everybody.
Wow, I like Richie, I like
all,
it, though.
Direct all comments to Richie.
No, I like it. Speaking of yarbles, Richie, go ahead and get your clackers, hang. I like it. I like it.
If you want to be a world-class city,
yeah,
you got to invest in it. And to me, drawing the huge sporting events, and it goes beyond just, you know, huge sporting events. It could be just the biggest events.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are on a short list. You look at the Super Bowls. You look at the Final Fours. You notice how there always tends to be a rotation that the same cities get these events? You build one of those stadiums here, you are now part of that rotation. Who would not want to come to Denver?
Oh, I know,
with everything,
right?
You know, this time of year especially. You sell the Final Four and the March Madness and the Super Bowl and the mountains are right up there. You know how many people would come in? We got the world's fifth busiest airport.
Yes.
So people can come here from anywhere.
Right.
Anywhere. Not the world's fifth. The U.S.
fifth.
We're international, baby.
You know what? You can make the whole weekend of it. You can come in, fly in. Then you can catch, you know, one of the trains downtown, right? Don't the trains go up and down? Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch a train downtown.
They're trains. They tend to go.
What do they call it? They like it in Frisco.
Like light rail?
Yeah, light rail. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, light rail.
When was the last time you were on a light rail?
Last time I was on a light rail?
Got on the platform, bought your ticket with the common folk,
probably,
and rode the rails.
A year ago in New York going.
No, I'm talking about here.
Oh, this light rail?
Yeah.
Well, I won't go on the light rail until they give it a name. Like in San Francisco, they've got the FART, the Frisco Area Transit, Rapid Transit. I think that's what they call it, the FART.
No. No. No, no. Huh? 1,000 times, no.
You're not going to correct that?
It's now that we established this, okay, it's the BART.
Oh, the BART. The BART.
The FART.
I thought it was the FART. Oh, my God, I've been calling that the wrong thing all these years.
That would be a great name, though.
It would be.
What was it stand for again?
The Frisco Area Rapid Transit.
Frisco Area.
Yeah.
Oh.
You ride the FART downtown.
That would catch on.
Yeah.
Somebody missed out on a golden marketing opportunity.
Right exactly.
Yeah.
It could be sponsored by GasX.
Right?
By the way, I have never
had too much coffee this morning. I have never
ridden the light rail here in town.
I didn't think so, which is kind of why I was pressing you on that.
Yeah, why would you drive the light rail when you got a shump BMW X5? Hello?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Mark Schlereth. That
doesn't quite make sense.
Let them eat cake, everybody. Let them eat cake. Or in this case, let them eat burritos. Yes. We got free breakfast burritos here at Sam's Number 3. We've had a great time. Every time we come out here, we have the absolute best time. This place is so well run. Can't thank the staff out here enough. They are always so accommodating. They are eager to get us ready to roll, and they do a great job hosting. We absolutely adore coming here. So Sam's Number 3, downtown 15th and Curtis, as we've been broadcasting here live, and we'll be back again here very, very soon. Keep it we'll keep you updated on as to when we're going to be out here again. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all of you coming out. We really appreciate it. Good job, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your breakfast burrito. Mark's going to be taking about 8 of them home. Coming up next, it's the Players Club. Straight ahead.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bathfitter is in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bathfitter, it just fits.